Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going.
It's going?
It's going pretty good.
Okay.
It's the final countdown kind of good.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, I guess let's take a seat and enjoy a cup before we get started.
Yeah. This is our nightcap, is it?
Yeah, it's the remnant from today's excursion.
We just finished market. We always come home with a giant jug of iced tea.
It seems proper, like southern proper.
Well, we don't put a ton of sugar in ours.
Cheers. Cheers. Then that makes it improper. Because iced tea isn't proper until it's sweet enough.
This one's a hair sweet naturally because of the pineapple in it.
Yeah. It's tiki.
Now, I just realized, I don't think we've ever served tiki on any of our podcasts.
Have we not?
I don't think so.
If you guys actually notice it, you know,
a bit later census.
Yeah, let us know.
But this one is one of my more prouder blends.
Yeah.
Because I was looking for a summer blend, and most people always think, oh, fruits, watermelon. I know I was obsessed with the idea of like a watermelon basil, like a Thai basil note. And it just wasn't working. And then we ended up having Dole Whip. And I totally remembered that nostalgia.
From Disneyland?
Yeah, but then I also noticed that all of the really sweet-smelling tropical flowers were in bloom. Like jasmine.
Yes.
And other things like the, wow, I can't think. Plumerias.
Ah.
Like the Hawaiian plumerias and the Hoyas all come out in the summer. And I just thought to myself, how do I encapsulate this into a drink? And that's how we made tiki.
Well, I remember actually turning this into a sweet iced tea. And your dad, who is like totally proud of being a little country, approved of it. It was like the sweeter it, you know, the more sugar you put in here, the sweeter it got. The better it got. Like, it was amazing.
This also, I call this, like, one of my creeper blends. I noticed that everybody falls for, like, the really fancy blends first. You know, there's always, like, a hard-hitter one. Like, Will-O-Wisp or Daydreamer. And they get those. But then they have Tiki. It's like a creeper one. It's the second wave where, if you're experienced with tea spectral teas, then you have tiki, which is like a whole other level of layering.
Yeah.
Where it's more like, oh my gosh, more complementary as opposed to analogous. Yeah. You know, like on the color wheel sort of thing, they're apart from each other, the flavors.
It's they're like, adjacent.
Yeah, it's like how Chap Hop is like three completely different flavor profiles in one.
Yes.
Like on the spectrum of the flavor wheel, but tiki's like opposites of each other, because you have a very super florally green tea,
yeah,
like jasmine, and then it's mixed with like a super nutty unroasted rooibos with fruits.
Okay.
So they're complete opposites, but when they blend together, they're super mellow and smooth and sweet.
Yeah, that sounds like it's complimentary. It's like
Yeah, well,
it's like fire and ice.
Yeah,
you know, like complementary colors. But when you said analogous.
Analogous is next to each other, right?
I think analogous is actually in three parts.
Yeah, so that. Three different directions. Yeah. So wait, that would be chap hop then.
Yeah, that would be chap hop.
Because chap hop is bergamot, lapsang souchong, and vanilla bean.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So. This is perfect. I don't know if you're going to be able to sleep. It's a green tea and it is caffeinated.
It's with unroasted rooibos in it. So it's a little, it's like 50% caffeine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's been a long day for the both of us. Farmers markets take a toll on your, you know, on your, I guess, energy?
Yeah, well, energy. It's very physical.
Oh, yeah.
People don't realize it takes... I mean, we've got it down to a science, but setting up a tent is a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
Hauling stuff from your car in and out is a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, like, I've seen, like, older gentlemen who refuse to carry their tables and their tent all the way to their car, damaging somebody else's property just so they could actually squeeze their vehicle right in between everyone else's tent to get out of there.
Oh, Eugene's a little bitter. So it's a common thing at the end of a market for there's a few people that will drive their car in the middle of the tents.
You have, like, the tents facing each other?
It's smaller than a one-lane highway.
And it's supposed to fit about a car and a half, but...
But you still have people walking.
Yes! You have people tearing down! Come on, man!
And they insist, but anyways, one of them not only almost broke our tent, but basically ripped one of our sandbags.
Yeah, that could be replaced.
Right, but...
Yeah, I just didn't like, you know, him being so impolite. It's like, excuse you. You know
I
better.
Hope he apologized.
He's not going to? Maybe he did. Maybe he did and I didn't hear it.
Mm.
So, but you know me. I'm just...
I was busy packing up.
Yeah. How rude. All right. And throughout this market, we actually were around a bunch of our other market friends.
Yeah, I was telling Eugene on the way over, I was feeling really hyped. It almost felt like the Muppet Show.
Mm.
In the sense that you have, well, like, the opening of the old Muppet Show, not right. The new one. I don't know, the new one's kind of got office vibes, but... it just felt like everybody was excited, everybody had, like, a little act, and everybody was just excited to be there.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of like that with the nostalgia of almost, like, Cheers. Like, everybody knew each other.
Yes.
And then people that we didn't know were gonna be at the market were there.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then we had friends visit, too, so it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
And then we made new friends today.
Huzzah!
Yeah. So, it was pretty great.
It was great. But, just the entire time, I felt like we were all trying to catch up. And, obviously the best marketing that you could actually do to advertise your stuff is to look busy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we had that issue. I feel like every time you leave to give samples to people, everybody swarms the tent. It stresses me out.
Oh.
Today, yeah. I actually had to run 3 transactions basically at the same time when you were gone.
Ah.
Like, one person was buying, so I was bagging one after charging them, running the other one, and then recommending on the third one. And it was chaos.
We had business.
Yeah. So that's one thing that we've been really shocked by is usually slow season for tea in general, even in the industry, is summer. It's dead season.
but the warmer it is, the more traction the farmers markets are
getting, which we're getting more business.
Yes.
Which is very, very unusual for us.
Shame on you people coming in unexpectedly. I should call it the Spanish Inquisition.
Wow, you're already on your second.
Are you not? This is delicious.
I do love tiki. Tiki, I am very proud. You know, secretly, I call it my Hufflepuff tea. You know why?
Why?
Because if you look at, like, all the stuff together, especially when I add the calendula petal on top, it's very, like, black and yellow.
Oh, yeah.
So it's got, like, a sunny black and yellow sort of... Actually, here's the jar. You can see it.
Well, they don't see it.
Yeah.
If you guys could go to the T-Spectral site, tspectral.com.
Yeah, you'll see it. But it's very, like, white. Like, the green almost comes out black because it's next to all this lighter
color
herb.
Yeah.
And then you have the bright calendula petals with the jasmine blossoms. Mm. So it looks like Hufflepuff to me.
Okay.
And also, you know, it's summer, sunshine, so you get, like, the sunflower, warm vibes, cozy. So it feels very Hufflepuff to me.
This is not helping. I need to be up a little more. But then again, it's like, no, it's not even that late. I am weak!
It's a slow caffeine.
Oh, goodness.
It's a slow caffeine. Actually, I just had a conversation with a lady over that.
Hmm.
She didn't want the jitters, but she was a nurse. And she wanted a companion caffeine, the way she put it. So she picked tiki.
Huh.
Because it's released at slow amounts of time, but green tea actually helps with more focus.
Yes.
Whereas coffee caffeine is a little more sudden, fast, and it gives you the jitters.
Yeah.
So, well, green tea can also give you the jitters in high dosages, but this is blended, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
That's rather nice.
Companion caffeine.
Uh-huh.
I think everybody could do with a companion caffeine.
I don't know why. I just all of a sudden thought of Mordecai. When you say that.
That's funny.
Anyways. My week has been, I guess, lukewarm.
Hmm.
Yeah, lukewarm. Like, every time I went to work, I just felt like I wanted to just be somewhere else.
Oh, I know the feeling.
Yeah. And it wasn't bad, you know? Like, it's not like work was lulling me and work was boring. It's just, I really wanted to be somewhere else. Like, I think I was in Santa Barbara. Was I?
Yeah, they take you to Santa Barbara a little too often. Tuesday you were in Santa Barbara.
Right.
No, it was Wednesday because I had a market.
Doesn't matter. I was there. It was like a fever dream, and the Ralph's would look like a Spanish castle. You know, it was just Santa Barbara, you know? Anyways, I was there. I just didn't want to be there. You know, like,
even though you were in Santa Barbara,
dude, like, blue skies, you know, ocean, you know, seaside while you're driving through the, you know, freeway or highway. And I didn't want to be there. I did not. Like, I wanted to be, I don't know, back in Panorama City, drinking some boba.
Yeah. With Jen.
I guess maybe with Jen. I don't know. Like, we had Hanani's chicken.
Hanan chicken, yeah.
At, where was it?
Boba Snow House.
Yes.
Now has food.
Yes.
It is very good.
It is so comforting. Like, I wanted their yogurt drinks. I wanted to just eat some, like, good old Taiwanese-ish food and just chill.
I have not tried their, what is it? I always try this whenever I see it on the menu, horchata milk tea.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I wonder, I think I should try to make a tea like that sometime.
Maybe.
So good. I mean, seriously, people, like, a very strong jasmine green tea mixed with horchata is just so good. Yes. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, this year, I feel like I've been trying to get more, I guess, closer to my spiritual side. Not to say I'm looking for God. I'm just saying that I want to get my soul back.
You're like, hey, excuse me, can I please have my soul back?
Yeah, like, I just want to sit down and draw. I want to go right ahead and write. Like, I want to be able to just kind of look into a reflection of what I have. Or what I am. Or what I could be. I'm not sure. Hmm. You know? It's all a haze.
So for me, it's opposite. I feel like when I had Cove and all these things, it was very soul-searching, relaxing, you know?
Yeah.
Now I'm back in workhorse mode.
Oh, yeah.
And funny story about that, I'll say afterwards. But basically, how hard can I go at my age? And how long?
Yeah.
And the markets are really starting to pay off.
Nice. Nice.
I think also getting new wholesale accounts has really been amazing.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
We love you. You know who you are.
You know people.
Yes.
But, yeah. I just thought it was funny that you literally held me hostage and you forced me not to go back home because I was working too hard.
Yes.
And you basically forced me to buy flowers for myself.
I'm sorry.
That was the funniest thing. And at first I was so mad at you. And then I felt like a million times better when we got home.
They look great.
They do look great. I should take pictures. I got, I actually found chamomile blossoms, which are absolutely adorable. I've never had a bouquet of them before. I've like had fresh chamomile that I've cut and brewed, but never a bouquet. And then you got me stargazer lilies, which are actually your favorite.
Yeah.
But it's funny because Eugene didn't really know how much he liked them until we wrote Nocturnal Notes, and that's actually Eve's favorite is lilies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and for those that don't know about the play, because I'm pretty sure everyone knows about Nocturnal Notes, the tea.
Right.
Nocturnal Notes was originally a play that we wrote back in 2007?
Yeah.
Yep. And we produced it at the Secret Rose Theater.
It ran pretty long, actually.
Yeah.
I think it went for, like, 4 to 6 weeks?
Well, the theater managers were always telling us, like, the longer you go, the better.
Mm-hmm. And,
you know, back in the day, like, 6 weeks was actually, like, the minimum for a 99-seat theater.
Yeah, but it was nice, and I don't know. I would say that that sort of triggered some of the sommelier in me, in the sense that We wrote about, like, wine and L.A. and that thing. Mm-hmm. So at the end, we desperately wanted to make a wine tasting, but we were obviously broke.
Yes.
So we, I forgot what it was. I know we were at some restaurant. It was Mi Piazza's, I think, and they had a wine sommelier there.
Ah, yeah.
And he noticed that, and I'm like, I don't know anything, help!
Yeah.
And he literally gave us, like, a list for BevMo.
Yeah.
That was the first time we ever went to BevMo, too.
Mm.
And he's like, look, these are really cheap because they're in California, so they're cheaper than they should be, but they're very good wines.
Yes.
And he's like, these are the three you want. And it worked. And we had It was pretty cool, yeah, you know?
Yeah. I wish I've gone to some of their wine tastings, or just tastings, because a lot of the times that we go to, you know, every time that we've gone to BevMo,
yeah,
they were more beer sommeliers over there.
Do you want to hear something funny? I've gone to one of their tastings, but of all the things, it was their cheese.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Of all the things, it was their cheese. It was, like, cheese sampling with their, like, snacks. I think they were trying to, like, for the holidays, promo.
Well, that is, like, the best part of Psalms, right? You go right ahead and actually hit up a Psalm, or short for sommeliers.
Yeah.
And they will tell you what will pair best with what.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of pairing. I mean, we wanted to talk about this sometime. What about all the products that are slowly getting paired with tea spectral tea?
Woo! Yes!
Yes! The farmer's market.
I was hoping you'd talk about this.
Yeah.
Please, please, brag.
Well.
Throw it out there. Let the world know how much you've conquered, darling.
Well, it's. We were talking about having friends, and these friends are other creators. And if you follow our Instagram, you already know some of them. But basically, they take the teas and they infuse them in things.
Yes.
And it's been so fun.
Yes. Bug and Bear came out with a fantastic cannoli.
Lettuce? Let's talk about it. Okay. Like, let's introduce them. So, please. Bug and Bear, two wonderful gentlemen. I think they both moved here from New York, or was it only one of them?
I don't know their story.
Anyways, I know they met in LA, and they're soul partners. They're so sweet.
Yeah.
And, I think it was, like, one of them, I don't know the whole story fully, but I know that they literally started selling cannolis out of a gay bar in West Hollywood.
Are you saying this?
No, really! This is part of their story. It's all on their Kickstarter.
Hey!
But basically, it's one of their grandmother's, Sicilian grandmother's, cannoli recipe. And so they just started making it, and it just would always sell out. So then they just started doing farmers markets, and they almost always sell out. But they make, like, traditional cannolis, but then they also do twists on them. Mm. Like, one that they did recently, which I helped them, you know, get the stuff for, they did a white chocolate lavender with blackberry.
Nice.
And then, what was the other one that was... They just did an espresso one, too, where they actually fine-ground the espresso and they put it in the cannoli cream. Mm. That was incredible. But they're currently working on one to combine more of the farmers market people together.
Yeah.
And I gave them silk ribbon because they want to do a... chocolate rose strawberry cannoli.
Okay.
And they're going to use Jam from Happy Jellies, who's also a creator. And she's been using tea spectral stuff in her jams.
Yay!
So she started with Forest, and of all things, she paired it in her... Oh my goodness. Is it her blackberry sage? Yes.
Okay.
So her blackberry sage has Forest, so it has a little bit of an orange zest and cinnamon in it.
Yes.
And the juniper. Mm. But now she's taking Will-O-The-Wisp, and she's putting it in a blueberry Earl Grey jam.
Yeah. we are keeping our winter bodies this summer.
I'm really trying not to. But it's really hard when your friends are all bakers.
Yeah.
And they make jams.
Oh my gosh.
And all these good things. And then we just made friends with 77 Drip.
Yes.
Well, we've made friends with them for a while, but I'm proud to announce, and by the time this is up, I'm sure I'll put it on the Instagrams, that some of their tea options on their cafe, because they're a pop-up Ethiopian hand-drip cafe. Mm-hmm. And I love them, too, because what they'll do is they'll take natural botanicals like hibiscus and rose and cardamom, and they'll grind it.
Yeah.
And they'll toast it over, I think it's charcoal that they use, right? It smells amazing next to them, because they run those little charcoal tablets to toast things.
Yeah.
But,
it's quite the setup.
Yeah, but it's gorgeous, and they sprinkle all this natural botanical on top of your coffees and teas. But yeah, they're making Tea Spectral.
Yes.
And they're serving Silk Ribbon in their moon, their blue matcha. Mm. I think it's a ground butterfly pea flower tea.
Yes.
And then the base is Silk Ribbon. But they're also going to start incorporating chapop into
fantastic.
A tea latte.
Yes.
So take a look. Just be on the lookout for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, if that wasn't enough, we're working with Fimbus. I think I brought that up in the first episode.
Maybe just for a few of them anyways.
Well, Fimbus is an apothecary. That travels like us, and she's carrying our teas.
Yeah. So if you guys need herbals.
So these are all just the farmers market people that we're collaborating with. These aren't our wholesale restaurant and bookstore accounts either. But, oh, and I'm also working with a bee farmer, which does rescue bees. I think I brought that up last episode, but I'll bring it up again really quick. Joaquin takes rescue bees, so basically bees that are found where they shouldn't be. One lady was talking to me today. She found like a huge hive in a compost pile. It's really crazy. They show up everywhere. Attics, basements, you know, trees.
You name it.
Anyways, instead of getting them destroyed and fumigated, you can call Joaquin up and he will ethically, gently move them into a bee box and then put it on his lovely farm.
What's this company called again?
Just Rescue Bees Honey.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and it's just him. If you check his Instagram account, it's just all live streams of him removing these bees.
Yeah.
And I was excited because I'm getting a new shipment tomorrow from him. He's actually dropping it off here.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that he made a deal with an avocado farm out in Moorpark.
Huh.
And he lets them have a bee box on this avocado farm, so he has exclusively avocado honey for that bee box.
God, you can't get any more hipster than that.
So, I'm, and now that I think about it, one of our friends is the CEO of an avocado farm, and now I have to ask her if it's her farm, because she lives in Moorpark.
Oh my god.
That might be her farm.
Yeah, we're gonna have to call her.
Oh, so...
Anyways. This is our little universe.
Yeah, we, like, live in a weird LA mixed with fantasy land. But the markets have really brought back that passion to just not only create again, but not necessarily F prestige, but stop looking over your shoulder and just create.
Yeah.
And create things that people can genuinely enjoy, not to impress.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
Because sometimes the tea world can get so stuffy and claustrophobic and up its own specialness.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it that way.
Okay.
But, it's been really great just bouncing ideas and talking to people and genuinely creating a tea that people can live with.
Yes.
Because that's what I've always wanted to do with Tea Spectral, how even our slogan is seize the day one sip at a time.
Yeah.
And that's what made me fall in love with blended teas, was because you know, it's something different and unique, and it was always fun to discover what was in season and how to find it.
Exactly.
And it encapsulates memories for a lot of these people.
Exactly.
Like, I just finally brought back Nocturnal Notes, and I've made it more berry forward instead of, like, the hard chai. So I have, like, more gentle chai notes, less strong on the chai, more blackberry and black currant.
Yeah.
And I've gotten this a few times where people are like, I felt like I was transported to a fireplace, like, by the fireside during Christmas. Like, that's the vibe.
That's so sweet.
And they said it's it just transports them. And they're like, please make this again. I want to feel like it's Christmas. And it was such a good compliment.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's been so good just making tea for the people. For a change.
Yeah. It's been fantastic.
I'd rather be the people's tea at this time.
Well, it feels more like the Angelito people's tea.
Yeah.
At this point. Because it's impressive over how much they already know when they come to the booth.
Yeah, like our friend Brian, who's been on Bibliosinensis a few times, he came to get some teas, and some people don't like Chin Chin because of the honest forward.
Yeah.
And he always picks it, and I'm like, are you really okay with that? You know, sometimes people don't like that. And he's like, no, did you know that most Peruvian tea is made with star anise?
Huh.
So he says it feels like it's very home, like cozy. It makes him feel like culturally he's home when he has it. And I would have never thought for our winter blend with mulling spice that this would be something that would make a Peruvian man cozy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just really cool to hear stories, but also fill that gap that people need.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. It tends to actually bring more layers out when you're able to converse with them with something, I guess, as, I can't say intelligent. Like, something that, I guess, challenges them.
Yeah.
You know? And allows them to share their knowledge, their experience, and without, I guess, inhibitions.
Yeah.
You know? Not to say, like, you know, like, this is a terrible temptation that you should keep your kids away from.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is... A lot of people hold back because they have no way of connecting to people.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, the farmer's market is a fantastic icebreaker for everybody.
It literally feels like, to me, the best version you could ever think of a test kitchen.
Ooh. Yeah.
Because it's out there. Your test subjects are real people.
Yes.
And your feedback is authentic. And you're also getting feedback from other creators.
Exactly.
So it's the best. It's like the perfect storm. For me lately, at least.
No. I've seen it. I mean, like, gosh, the struggle has been real, you know, since our beginning during COVID. You know, from artisan markets to catering to, you know, the farmers markets. And artists, if you guys, you know, hang out with a lot of them, you realize that they are not logical creatures. But that does not exempt them from actually having an informative opinion about anything. They feel they're empathetic. And I've been worrying with myself because, you know, I deal with fan film awards. I've worked with a lot of geeks, you know, in the past. And they still are pretty analytical, even though they love creative things.
Yeah.
But you are dealing with creatives that are analyzing your product.
Yeah.
Because they do live in that world of sensations, elations, and a whole lot of senses being, you know, I guess, again, challenged. Or inspired. I guess the better word is inspired.
I'm sorry, yeah. My mind went somewhere else.
I'm sorry.
It gives me flashbacks of when we, like, our first years of being married. Mm. And, you know, like, I think that was the thing. I got fired from my job 2 weeks before my wedding.
Right.
So, you know, grabbing at straws, trying to find another, like, you know, there's the job that you want, right?
Yeah.
But then to fill in the gap, you're always going to get that quick fill-in job. And I was a sample lady. That was the worst job in the world, to me, at least.
You should have done the wine job.
I should have, but it was more of a liability, and you had to take insurance out, and it was a whole thing. But
yeah.
Anyways, I was a sample lady. I think one whole Christmas and, like, thing, I did Keurigs. Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Keurigs in the middle of a Macy's, and then I did, like, other random sample test kitchen sort of stuff at, like, farmer's market. I wish.
Yeah.
It was, like, Ralph's or, like, Stater Brothers, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
But I just remember how dirty men are when it comes to food. Yes. I cannot begin to tell you, like, that, if anything I learned from, like, what was it? It was, like, 6 months on that job. Yeah. It was how sexualized food is to people. Like, it's almost carnal.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's true.
Like, I would have so many, like, of all ages, not just dirty old men, but they would just prowl my cart.
Right.
Ah, my God. And the comments and, like, just, it's so weird. So weird. Like, you think getting hit on at a bar is weird? Try getting hit on while you're feeding people. It is the weirdest thing in the world.
Right.
So all of you women that work in, like, waitressing. Actually, you know what? No, I can't even say that because I, like, managed that tea room for 5 years afterwards. It is such a different feeling.
Right.
For people to watch you make the food.
Yes.
And then feed it to them.
Yeah.
And they do the weirdest stuff. Like,
right.
I don't even want to say some of the stuff that went on this podcast. I mean, I don't know. If you guys give us enough hits, maybe I'll make an extra episode. And I'll spill the tea because this business isn't even around anymore, I think. They finally shut the program down.
I'd hope so.
But it was just terrible. Like, I think the worst story I have to say, I won't go into detail, but, like, this guy, it was like a fetish for him, but he was a protester. Mm. He was a vegan protester. And it was like a kink for him. And I'll just leave it at that.
Right.
But it was really weird. That's where my mind went. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You used very descriptive words.
I remember that job. I was sad that I couldn't protect you. I was, you know, I had a complex that, because they were customers and you were doing your job, that I, as somebody that is connected to you, you know, on a personal level, would basically ruin the whole situation.
Yeah.
Because it was a between job, and nobody likes between jobs.
Nobody likes them.
Nobody.
Cheers to being away from it.
Huzzah!
Yay.
Oh, God. Speaking of which, a lot of, what was it? A lot of job issues have been happening to everybody.
Really?
What's it called? How many? It's not a protest.
Strikes?
Yes, the strikes. Like, they just.
I feel like they're dying down. I feel like last year was more of the year of the strike. Or
Yeah.
the year prior.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Like, literally, everybody's industries have been changing, and nobody is happy. You
Yeah.
know? I mean, like, I wish it was like the animation industry, like, back at, like, early 2000, where it's just, oh no, you have to learn 3D and 2D animation. And, like, at least it was still, you know, employment. But now the world's literally turning upside down through AI and, like, you know, what our society deems as valuable now. So, I don't know, it's kind of weird to me because I don't like the idea that people feel devalued for getting a bachelor's or a master's and actually getting the job that everyone wishes they could get. You know, including teachers, including actors. Just like, what is happening?
It's hyper qualification.
It is. And at that isn't even necessary. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Just,
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought I'd just bring that up because
No.
it's been worrisome for everybody.
Yeah.
And at this point, like, I don't know. I guess I'd like to ask you your opinion because you've been an entrepreneur for like the past few years, while everybody else has been, you know, either been a yes man or trying to actually survive their careers. Is it even worth having a skill?
Yes, it is. Where do I even go from there?
All right, well, I guess I'll start with my argument. I think we are being told to have the wrong skills.
Yeah, actually, it's funny because I was watching a discussion over that a week ago.
Yeah.
Was it Vanderbilt? I think it was Vanderbilt, one of the big oil tycoon people in the 1920s said, "I don't need thinkers, I need workers."
Yeah.
And he was the guy who literally funded and pushed for the public school system
Yeah.
in America. And so all the curriculum and everything of that sort was basically put in motion to make good workers.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why they say that we have financial illiteracy here in America,
Yeah.
is because we're only taught enough to keep us in line, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna get super political on this, but basically the history of it is so that our education is created in a way to benefit billionaires
Yeah.
so that they get workers that aren't gonna cause problems for them by being super illiterate in terms
Yes.
of finance, but just enough that it keeps them in line. They're never going to grow past it, but they'll be able to basically self-sustain the system.
Exactly.
And that's why we don't know how to file our taxes, why we don't know investment, why we don't know these things is because it's only enough so that we won't lemur ourselves into financial ruin, basically.
Right.
But that history, yeah. That's literally in our history, and it's been quoted while he signed the documents to make the public school system.
Right. Which is interesting because, you know, like I keep studying Spain and Hispanic history. And right now, if you live in, you know, or if you were a citizen of any of the old territories that the old Spanish Empire had, they reduce your citizenship time from 10 years to 2 years.
That's so weird.
Right? And then I looked into Spanish lifestyle, and it's pretty exciting, to be honest. You know, you got amazing food, people don't get up early, they eat and dance and party until, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's normal, it's normal. You know, they'll look at you weird to actually say that you're going to have your dinner at 6. Everyone's going to come at 9.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I just keep watching all of these videos. I'm like, wow, Spain sounds amazing. And then I get into discussion boards and I go right ahead and talk about, like, you know, in Spain, they actually tax the rich.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, but look what happened. Like, they don't actually make anything progressive over there. I'm like, I'm sorry that, you know, this place actually allows people to kind of have a life.
Hmm.
Not to say that they actually can, you know, afford more. Like, good God, it's much more expensive than LA. But imagine this. They tax people according to what they own. Not just from your work.
Hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's literally how you tax the rich.
That's because... amazing, actually.
Right? I'm like, why don't we do this?
So, how are you feeling since we're talking about heated subjects? General.
Uh-huh.
How are you feeling that there was a press conference that was just announced, well, not a conference, but a press statement that was announced by the owner of TikTok, and he said, I'd rather shut down in the U.S. officially than sell my business.
I'm kind of sad by that, because international business is amazing, and being that China is one of the two superpowers now in the world, you know, I feel like we're getting a taste of what America did to, you know, the rest of the world.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy that that karma actually came back to America.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been long overdue. You know, like, literally America's, you know, like, terrible politicians, like the worst politicians, have actually taken advantage of almost everybody around the world, and without any consequence most of the time. And it's just history repeating itself. It's just we're on the other side now.
That's funny where your brain went straight to that. And for me, as an entrepreneur and, like, a small business, I was just thinking about the content creation and the people that rely on it. And just, where do we go from here? You know?
Yeah, well, the internet's going through a revamp as is.
It is. I actually really like it.
I mean, actors are finally opening up their Facebook accounts.
Yeah.
You know, you could literally follow them now, not just, like, you know, a fan that so happens to enjoy, like, Nelly Vanilli. yeah, I don't know. Some of the internet policies now have been, you know, really great. But, obviously, that comes with some consequences. It's bringing in a lot of people that want to hack your system.
I feel like the best way for me to somehow, I guess, sum how I'm seeing it in my predictions is if you're online for business, it's going to be very clear and easy for you to set up for your business.
Yes.
If you're there for pleasure, it is going to be very clear and easier for you to breathe. You will get less spam.
Right.
So, it's a win-win for both.
Yeah.
In that sense. That's the best I can say right now.
Well, before it was only AOL.com that actually had policies. And I would tell people this anytime they would ask. You know, like, ew, AOL.com, you had to pay for that. Like, I'm sorry, but if you actually go through their bylaws, they actually do protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, you can be hacked, but you can actually take a class action. You know, like, what other internet provider does this?
Mm.
You know? So, I don't know. It's all going topsy-turvy. I know we miss, like, the hustle that we would actually have with, I guess, influencers back in the heyday of YouTube.
Yep.
But I don't know, like, times have changed. And
I think it's really refreshing, though, to see these influencers bound by contracts and
you mean, like, actual actors?
They're actual actors. Like, they're not I think that's what they hate. Is it's right. Like, yeah, well, that's what the joy of being a content creator now, by definition, is basically an actor that produces.
Right.
Right?
Right. Which was like, you know, we were in like the Wild West.
Before. Right. Which,
and also, people, a lot of thespians, a lot of actors, a lot of talents that have trained their entire life. Okay, most of them have in oration, in dancing, in singing, in playing music, felt like they got cheated out of.
That's so interesting.
This is why we have cosplayers. A lot of them were the theater kids that felt like they got cheated out of something good.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. You can't be an extra for like a movie. I get it. You can't be a background dancer at a musical. But you're telling me that somebody that might not like video games have to show a little skin? Come on. It's kind of cool. Kind of
yeah.
Cool if you think about it in this method, because huzzah, as, you know, a content creator, you are being taken seriously as an entertainer.
Mm.
You're not just some comedian that goes to, you know, like, these back alley stages and get a good laugh from, like, your peers that, you know, obviously pay to drink at your event.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are actually a real talent, and you better start stepping up your game. You can't just copy somebody and expect to be taken seriously as a one-trick pony. It's like, obviously, this is why everyone's upset that TikTok is disappearing, because they can't copy that exact trend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times.
You can technically do it, but it's not as easy. So that's what a lot of content creators have expressed, is the way that TikTok is set up is when you record.
Yeah.
You can record in sync with the music.
Right.
Where no other format is like that.
Yeah.
And it's easier to be on time and to follow in sync with these trends.
Yes.
You can technically do it on Instagram and all these other platforms, but it doesn't have that timer button for you.
Yeah.
So, making improvisational type content with music is definitely going to be more difficult. And a lot of the people that are accepting at this point that TikTok's probably going to go away are begging them, please find some way of taking this feature and putting it on your platform.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is good. Because, obviously, we are able to keep the information within the U.S. borders, which, I swear, have been, like, trying to kill cryptocurrency like...
Do not even.
I know, I'm sorry. That is a
very heated subject for someone like me, okay. Who's, like, been studying crypto security. Yeah. So...
Understood. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But
I guess I'm just feeling really, like, you know, enthralled over the politics behind all this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want something creative. I don't want just a gag, okay? If I wanted a gag, like, please bring back, like, you know, the value of animation. Like, yes, these people are basically giving us the same quality of entertainment as Tom and Jerry and Looney Tunes. Practically, you know, like, how many times are you going to see the coyote, like, hit the floor? It's great. It's classic. Fantastic. Thank you. And yes, copyrights do actually make it problematic for others to actually do the same thing. But I'm sorry. I am getting sick and tired of cheap dopamine. I am done. Yeah. In fact, right now, like, you and I are enthralled watching Ripley.
Oh, Ripley is so good.
For a reason!
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, like, okay, I get it during the Bibliosynensis episode where I went ahead and, like,
faked
everybody.
Didn't know what it was, and I just turned it on, and you lost your mind.
Yes! Oh my god! For those that remember Tom Ripley, the movie, what was it?
Is it the Fantastic Mr. Ripley or something? Or?
Oh my gosh, I forgot the title. I can't believe I'm even saying this.
It's Anyways. The one with Matt Damon and Jude Law?
Yeah, Jude Law. It's the movie that ruined his career for a while.
Why did it ruin his career?
Because it typecasted him as a gay flamboyant character for a long time. And, yes, it was a fantastic role. Yes, it was a fantastic story. But the homophobia was pretty real during the time.
Mm.
You know? But... the episodes of Ripley are in black and white, and they take their time. It really feels like you are reading the book, you know, at, like, real time.
Yeah.
You know, and you get to, you know, enjoy everything in, like, black and white, and the contrast.
That's my favorite part of it.
Yes!
I hate that a lot of these, like, some of these mediums, like, you know, it's a vintage vibe. They'll start with black and white and then move to color.
Yeah.
This whole thing is in black and white.
Yes.
And it's so wonderful.
And I love it that it's set in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, during a vintage era when Italian films were the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because, like, it's a stereotype. Like, every Italian, film in its golden age were always in black and white and always had guys with skinny ties.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I also love that all the B-roll footage looks like vacation photographs in Italy.
Yes.
It's, they specifically frame the shots to look like candid shots, like, especially, like, the first episode takes place in New York City,
right?
And I love how they really capture, like, summer in New York. It's balmy, it's hot, but it's in the 60s, so people are wearing suits, and just the even, like, the poverty. Like, the idea of, like, the not-so-rich versus the super wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And they show it through, like, frames that you swear you've seen in, like, Times Magazine or newspaper clippings from that era.
Yes.
And I love that so much. Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Ripley is incredible. Please go watch it.
Yeah, and if you guys, please just, like, reread the books, because, oh my gosh, the scenes, they follow it
They're pretty well. Accurate.
Yes. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I was, like, surprised by Freddy, like, just the way that they made him so androgynous. It was, like, fantastic. Like, what the... You know? But anyways, I could go on. Nevertheless, I am loving the return of quality in art.
Oh, my goodness.
And I know that, you know, like I mentioned earlier, that we are told to, what's it called? Like, pick up the wrong skills, because it's all really come to this. Like, we have gone so far off in, like, experimentation that nobody knows how to do anything right. And you get what I mean? Like, I'm not saying, like, their value and moral or, like, ethics is there. That. I'm just saying that it's like, I hate to sound like a plebe. It's like the time when everybody dropped Raphaelite paintings out of their resume, and no kid wanted to learn a classic painting.
Mm.
And this is how we lost, you know, basically people that could repaint old paintings and keep their
restoration artists.
Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I love modern art. I love, you know, I'm a huge fan of Dadaists. But
Have we seen the new type of Dada stuff?
There's more?
Goodness, okay. Anyways.
Let's keep going.
Whole other subject.
We are at our peak with, you know, with our, I guess, Dadaist movement and, you know, social media and such. And it's now coming down to, I guess, the return of quality entertainment for everybody. And I feel so good not being a weirdo, because I love this stuff.
It's sorry. Like she knows to definitely cut in.
That's our puppy. I'm sorry.
Come on.
Here you go, Bella. Good
girl. Over here.
For those that know that we have dogs, this is Bella. It's our little Skipperky.
Mm-hmm.
Little captain. But nevertheless, like, I don't feel so weird actually enjoying quality. I know I am unable to name anything technical in their respective placements. But it's not to say that I don't like what I like. You know? Like, I'm sorry. It's just... I mentioned Dadaist. Yay.
Yeah.
Kudo points. But, yeah. How do you feel about that?
About what part?
That I am excited that TikTok is... is actually doomed, and that social media is now demanding for everybody to treat themselves as professional OSIS entertainers.
Well, I think it's about time, honestly, that... I mean, just as a whole on the internet, I won't comment my, like, absolute opinion on TikTok, because right. I honestly... I'm happy that the respective parties are making solid decisions based on what they want from it.
Right.
So the fact that he refuses to sell his app because America has a problem with it,
right?
It's great.
Or don't I should say American politicians.
Yeah, that's great. More power to you.
Right.
You know? But, I'm just happy that because of everything going on and because of what happened during lockdown and how there was just a burst and desire and need for the internet. Yeah. More so, I'm happy that influencers are finally getting formalized contracts. Because before, everybody sort of, there was kind of the way to do it.
Yes.
And now there's a way to do it. Yeah. Where almost like when you used to get an agency during the, you know, YouTube golden era.
Yeah.
Everything was sort of like, they sort of knew how to do it, but it was almost like you were paying someone to be like a soothsayer for you.
Yeah.
And like guide you through this weird mayhem.
Yeah.
But now it's more, okay, like in Hollywood, so it's almost become like a second version of like the indie scene.
Right.
Where it all goes by the guidelines of, like, for example, like, the standard appreciation of what SAG-AFTRA has put forward.
Yeah.
And the contracts, and, I mean, they obviously don't have unions and such, but, like, I suppose think of them more of, like, the contractor actors.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, exactly.
So, there are rules put aside now.
Yeah.
So that it works that way and nobody can do weird, shady things to them.
Yes.
And there's less of that. And I think that's the same way for especially business now. I love how the more I study algorithms and the more that I'm getting certified in things, I realize that a business has to represent as a business.
Yes.
Because remember the days where everyone was Kickstarter, Indiegogo crazy.
Yes.
Like crowdfunding.
Yeah.
And it was acceptable, absolutely acceptable, because you needed to make the money to spam the living daylights out of people on social media.
Yes.
And so many people, like, you want to support your friends, but you also are like,
enjoy your privacy.
You don't want to see that every, what? So I've heard of some people posting every hour.
Yeah.
The same post.
Yep. Back in the day.
Yeah. And it was encouraged.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that now we have rules set aside and algorithms set aside to say, if you're talking business, this is how the rules go.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You can't have hidden agendas as much as you could before.
Yeah. You can't just flail your arms and, you know, demand to be paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That settles somewhat of what I was actually concerned about. Because I don't want to feel like I'm alone.
No.
In these thoughts and ideas. And I don't want people to believe that the industry is stale. It's far from it. It's,
you know, that's what I'm starting to notice is just, especially for someone who is constantly in person and constantly working with people, what they tell you online is not 100% true. I mean, never always assume that the internet's always right, for one.
Yeah.
Best thing to live off of is just assume that it is a thought.
Yes.
But this pushed feeling of doom.
Yeah.
You know, particularly, it's almost like they're framing like this despair.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily true.
No.
Especially in the business realm or the independent business realm.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, cheers to that.
Yeah.
This has been a really good drink.
I love Tiki.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's one of those, you think you know Tea Spectral, you get excited with the ones that taste like with exciting little notes that you're familiar with.
Yes.
And then when you're willing to explore a little more, this is one of those. Yeah. I really love it.
Well, this was a lovely chat.
Yeah. It was a great way to end the day. I think it's just been an overall wonderful day.
Yes.
Anything else we're missing?
I mean, Litfest is happening.
Litfest is happening.
May 4th and the 5th.
Yes, and I forgot to bring up the tumblers. I know I brought them up briefly the last episode, but they're now available.
Yes.
And they are book-themed.
Please catch them at tspectral.com.
They're not!
Oh my gosh! They're
exclusively in person.
Cheers to that.
If enough people ask about them, I'd be more than happy to put them online, but, you know.
Either way, when you guys actually buy these tumblers at the farmer's market,
yes,
we will refill your cup every time.
Endlessly.
Anywhere we pop up.
And people have challenged this.
Yes.
I had one girl travel markets.
Yeah.
And we filled at the market twice at each market.
Yes.
So they're very wonderful. And of course, all my vendor friends have them.
Yes.
So.
Thank you so much. It's been a lovely, lovely chat.
Yes. So I hope everyone has an excellent week.
We'll catch you next time.
We'll catch you this weekend.
This weekend. Oh. Here on Authorist Cafe.
Cheers.
Cheers.